Very good. We're going to be in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. I'll be reading out of there. You can listen along as I read. I wanted to preach this message this morning, and Lord wanted us to do it tonight. So we swapped them around a little bit, what I was planning to do. I want to talk about you must be strong and courageous. You must be strong and courageous. I actually prepared this message for Brother Fisher's conference. Whenever I'm going somewhere where somebody's going to be preaching, I prepare a message in case they can't show up or their voice goes out or they get sick or whatever. So that's what I would have preached if Brother Fisher wouldn't have been able to show up. I wrote it for that, and I usually do something like that wherever I'm going, if I'm going to be around somebody who's preaching in case I need to. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness unto this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coasts. And there shall not be any man able to stand before thee in all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. All right, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us understand this passage and others we'll go into. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. You promise, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And how much more is what we ask for, Lord, in this time. We need your word. We need the Spirit to speak. And I pray he would, and I pray good things would happen, Lord, from heaven. You would feed us with the manna from the word of God and help us to be challenged to be courageous and strong for you, to do great things for you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord had a pep talk here with Joshua. Now, you got to understand, Joshua went from following Moses, who was leading this nation. This nation was at least 2 million people. Estimates are 2 to 4 million. It gives a number of foot soldiers at one point, so we know it's well over a million. The most conservative thinks he was leading 2 million. Some people think 4 or 5 million, but he was leading, I'd guess, maybe a little over 2 million people. And that's a lot of people to lead without a PA system or microphone or anything else. Just to lead, try leading 50 people and try to get them all to cooperate. And try leading 2 million. And by the way, 2 million gripers. And that's even funner. And actually, these weren't the worst gripers. And the worst gripers, God made them fall before this. And so we got this huge challenge. And God just kind of says a real strong statement when he's preparing him. He's talking to him. He's saying, get ready for this. And he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And I think that's significant because Joshua's whole life, this whole time, Moses has been leading them for decade after decade after decade. And all of a sudden, now he's the guy. And when you've been had somebody else who signs a check or somebody else who takes responsibility, and all of a sudden you're the one in charge, you realize this is a pain. And why do I have to do this? What should we do? Oh, there's nobody to ask. And so now it's you. And Joshua is getting a pep talk from God, preparing him for this. And it's a huge challenge because Moses, my servant, is dead. And there's a time in your life. And I want to specifically say this message is for people who are serving the Lord. This isn't for all the lessons and the things I'll give you out of this are not applicable for you if you're doing your own thing and not serving the Lord. But if you're serving the Lord, the rest of this message will be for you. And what the Lord does many times is he immerses you immediately into the need. He throws you into the river and says, learn how to swim. He shoves you out of the nest and says, time to learn to fly. Now, he's actually been training you to fly and training you to swim before then, but many of us will not swim or fly until we have to. And so the Lord says, okay, Moses is dead. You got to lead now. And so he really realizes the time when you've got to do this, and the Lord's thrown him into it. And so in the middle of this, God tells him three times very strongly, be strong and courageous. He says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Discourage and quit, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so he says, you need to be courageous to do this. You need to have courage. You need to not be discouraged and quit in this, and don't be dismayed. Dismayed means you lose your hope and you don't think it's going to happen and you can do it. And he says, be courageous and be dismayed. And do not be dismayed, and be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. The Lord's been using this in my life in the last month. And for about 2 weeks there, I had a period where God just forced me to be strong and courageous. And I want to say this. Here's the thing about courage. It's very weird with people. It's strange. With courage, you might say, why do I need courage? But what I find, and this is so key here, what I find is you are given things by God to do that are going to take courage. But you might not think, this is not like I'm going and fighting a lion. As a matter of fact, you might think it's insignificant, it doesn't matter, and so you're just not going to do it. But if it's some bigger challenge that looks scarier, then you might do it. Let me illustrate this. Elijah, he went and he faced the king. He faced 400. Let me get 1 Kings. Let's go forward a little bit there. 1 Kings chapter 19. He just went against 850 prophets, 400 false prophets and 450 prophets of Baal. And he stood before them and he said, let the God of heaven answer with fire. And he wasn't afraid at all. He went to the king who could have him killed and said, do this. There's a famine all around him. Wasn't scared at all. This man was courageous. And he goes and he brings a whole nation back to God, standing alone in the mountain against hundreds of enemies, and calls fire down from God, from heaven. And the people with him have knives in their hands, and he's not scared at all. No big deal for him. And then in chapter 19, after he wins this and brings revival to the nation, in chapter 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and wherewithal he had slain all the prophets of the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Being a logical guy here, Elijah, you just called fire down from heaven that consumed rocks. Why are you afraid of one woman? Couldn't you call fire down and consume her? Yet he's so scared, he runs from his life, he goes underneath a tree, sits down and says, I just deserve to die, I'm so unworthy, and I can't do anything better than my father's, and it's just time for me to die. He was totally dismayed because one woman wrote a letter that she was going to kill him. And here's this man who stood against people who could kill him all the time, didn't blink an eye. But I want to say, many times the courage you need to have does not look like something to somebody else that it would be something so major. Let me illustrate this with me. I'm weird in my fear factor and in my courage and totally weird. If you told me, hey, there's a hungry bear out there in the middle of that forest right there, and run over there and grab that flag in the middle of the forest and bring it back. You know, I think that'd be kind of fun. I honestly, it wouldn't scare me. You put me in the middle of ghetto with all the gangs, stuff like that. Been there a million times. Don't scare me at all. But here's how weird I am. I had some computer stuff to do. And I didn't know how to do any of it. And it had to be done. And my computer crashed and I got the new computer and had this demonically possessed thing called Windows 8. Whoever was drinking and smoking something when they designed Windows 8, it's unbelievable how dumb that thing is. Yeah, more efficient for the people who designed it. And I had to go do a bunch of stuff that I had no idea how to do with an account and with the computer, and it was all way above my head. And I said, let me just call this guy, see if they can walk me through it. Never expect customer service to walk you through anything. Hello, Mr. Bidom, how can I help you? Oh, and literally I just said, I don't want to work in this. It's too frustrating. I can't even figure out how to get to a start button on this thing. Let alone, I figured that out, let alone go through this complicated process of tying this website to this account. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I don't know how to do this. And craziest thing in the world, it completely discouraged me and scared me. I'd have been shaking. I said, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. Yeah, oh, if I had any money, I'd pay somebody to do this. If I had $1,000, I'd pay somebody to do this. I don't want to. You ever get something like that? It's just something over your head where you just say, this is not, I don't know. And something about it, I didn't even want to go start looking at it. It was so, and I knew once I got it all figured out and input every bit of information, I would push the right button and then it would say, sorry, page 6 expired. And I had to do it. I knew God wanted me to do it. And I knew God put me so nobody else could do it. So he shoved me in the middle of it and said, you got to do this thing. And I psyched myself up for it. I said, I'm not going to do it today. I'm too angry already at this stupid new computer. And luckily, there's no hammers around me. And Bill Gates isn't around, so I can kill him or whoever's designed Windows 8. And somebody's going to listen to this in 10 years. Windows 8. Oh, man, we're on Windows 37 now. And Microsoft will be out of business because of Windows 8. And so I sat there and I said, tomorrow I'm going to work on this. I psyched myself out. I made myself my favorite cup of coffee. I took deep breaths. I would have taken less preparation to go get the flag by the bear. It scared me. I don't know why. It didn't make me tremble scared. Just like, oh, I can't do it. Oh, I don't want to do this. And then God shoved me into this project, and I just had to replace my windows. I had one window in my house. You could see outside. You could not light a candle by that window. And it was getting so much cold air in. And I said, I don't know how to do this window. It's a weird window. It's not like other windows I've done, and I'm fairly handy, but this thing is so bad. And I got there, and all of a sudden, I started working on it, and everything in the whole frame was crooked. I'm not talking a little crooked. I'm talking in 2.5 feet, one part of the length there was 2 inches smaller. It was so, and every part of it, top to bottom, and everything was wrong, and I ordered these windows, and it was so cockeyed, messed up, that the windows wouldn't even fit in. And then all the wood was rotten in there. I took a deep breath, and I said, I have no idea how to do this. But now my windows are out. I've got to do this thing. And to do that thing, I had to sit here and say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure it out, and I'll find a way to do it. I'll figure it out. I'll get them all in, and we'll figure it out. And I had to decide to be courageous. You told me, hey, we're going to send you over to preach a gospel in the middle of whatever country you want. Don't worry about it. Not worried. Put me in front of weird areas. Send me to some strange area of Africa. No problem. Let's go. But there is disease there. There's this. It doesn't scare me. Computer stuff, sometimes. I have to be courageous to go do it. I will avoid it and not do what I should do because it's such a pain to me. Y'all follow at all what I'm saying? Or you guys aren't like that. You're not afraid of anything. And you know what I'm talking about? So So you say, well, you know, I'd be courageous. I know I had to be courageous to go do that job. And I got it done, by the way. Got both of them. One's I'm just cleaning up. Got it done. But I had to be courageous to do it because that is what was hard for me. And I had to be strong and courageous. See, the thing about it is that was God's will for me. He was shoving me into that to make me be courageous and to make me. It wasn't about getting the program done. It wasn't anything about the windows. What it was doing is making me courageous enough to go do the realms that I was afraid of. He forced me to go into a discomfort zone and do what I don't like doing and make me do what I don't want to do or what I'm not good at and force me, and it took courage to do that. But what most of the time we do, and I do, is out of sight, out of mind. I know I should do that, but I don't know how to do it, so I'm not going to do it. I'll do something. And staying with things not being done and staying with things not being fixed because you just are afraid of it, even though it's not, I'm trembling with fear. I'm the same way. If you told me, God tells me to preach something hard in the pulpit and everybody in the church is going to hate my guts and be mad at me, no problem at all. I'm not afraid to preach anything in the pulpit. I don't get the least bit scared. If I have to walk up to somebody in person and rebuke them face to face, I hate conflict. I can rebuke 1,000 people, just don't make me rebuke one. But you know what God did in the last couple weeks, about a month ago? He may have to go to some people and say, listen, you're doing wrong, and if you keep doing this, this is going to have to happen. Boy, I'd rather, if it came to a conflict, and I could go ahead and do all the jobs and the conflict wouldn't be there, I do that. And it's not good. But I've got to learn, even if I don't like doing that, just because I'm afraid of it, just because I'm not comfortable with it, and yes, I'm going to use the word afraid, because I had to be courageous to go do those things I don't like doing, then I can't do the will of God, because God has things that I have to do that is not my thing. And God has things to do that aren't your thing, and you're probably thinking of some things right now that aren't your thing, that you don't want to do, that you've avoided doing, that would fix things in life, that would help other people, that fix things that you've needed to do forever, but you've avoided to do it because you aren't courageous enough. You're afraid to go do that and mess with that. And so he says three times, you better be strong and very courageous. You've been comfortable there being man number two while Moses is up there. But you know what? It's time for you to lead. So you better be very strong and courageous. Strong, first of all, because it will be tough. Doing things for God and stepping into God's will and improving and getting to be where God wants you to be. I want to say that going into the promised land was them going into victory, where God had them planned to go. And for you to fix the things that have been holding you back, that you've said, you know what, not for me, not my gift, not, I'm not good at this, I'm not comfortable with this, I just don't know how to do it, I don't want to do it, I'm not going to think about it, don't. You staying out of that keeps you out of the promised land. So God's been trying to push you into something hard for you to give you, make you courageous, and you'll sit there, and we will sit there in failure because we're afraid. And there's little things that we could do, but to us, it's not little. It's big. I don't want to learn how to do that. That's. And another person, if you had to go fix a car, it would scare you to death. I have no problem fixing a car. But you had to do that. If you had to go in the middle of the ghetto, scare you to death. But maybe God will push you and make you where you need to grow, because he's trying to fix something in you and trying to get you to conquer yourself. Remember, victory isn't you overcoming sin, it's Jesus overcoming you. And so you've got to learn that God's going to push you to be courageous to do that. Why? Because it's going to be tough. There's several verses on this, and I'm not going to have you turn to all the verses, but going into victory, going to the promised land is going to be tough. So you better be very courageous here. And Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why do we have to be strong? Because it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. Why do we have to be strong? Because we have to carry others. Romans 15:1 says, ye that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. many times over the years when I've had to help a single mom, you know the first thing I have to get them to do? I mean the first thing, I have to get them, not always, but if this is the case, I have to get them to be courageous enough to realize they're on their own and you got to do it. And it's going to be scary, but you got to do it anyway. Because if they sit there in fear and paralyzed, they might do 1,000 mistakes because they're afraid of being alone. They're afraid of how they're going to get to get to. Where am I going to work? How am I going to get rent? How am I going to get a deposit? What am I going to do? And they might be in a damaging relationship and with a boyfriend, and they might never get out of that because they're afraid. And they know they need to. And so it happens in so many ways where we get afraid, and you're going to have to be strong, and you have to say, I got to do this. I just got to do it. I just got to do it. And that's what we got to do. And so it says, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So the mom has got to say, my kids are relying on me. I've got to do this for my kids. I just got to do it. And when they realize it, it's got to be strong. When you realize you're just going to have to be strong if you're going to go into victory and change, you're going to get attacked because someone else needs you. You are strong, and sometimes there's one person in the family who wants to be spiritual and the other people don't want to be spiritual. And somebody's got to say, I got to carry this alone. I've got to be strong. They that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. As the Bible says. And so you have to be strong because you're going to have to carry others until they get caught on, until they get strong enough. If you're living for the Lord has a plan for you. And that plan is part of it, you being strong enough to be taken into great places that are going to be very difficult for you to go to. See, they were wandering in the wilderness of mediocrity for 40 years. Now it's time to go into victory. And staying in fear will only keep you in circles of mediocrity. And you know what? You'll be comfortable in mediocrity because you might have to go in where you don't know. And the unknown is very scary. So first of all, you have to be strong because of those reasons. But you have to be courageous. And then he says, very courageous. First time he said courageous. Second time, very courageous. Let me give you some reasons. This is most of the message right here. Why do you have to be very courageous? Number one, because you will hear from those who are not courageous. Let me take it in numbers. My favorite stories in the Bible, Numbers chapter 13. Joshua knew this very well. You will hear from those who aren't courageous. And if you aren't courageous and strong, they're going to scare you to death. They will keep you from the promised land. And they're always there, and they'll always be sent to you. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. They just went in the promised land. They had 12 spies. The spies came back, gave a report. It's an incredible land. We have these giant grapes. And then Caleb stilled the people in verse 30 and said, let us go but once, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than us. And they brought up an evil report of the land. And so they began to scare them. If you go down to chapter 14, and all the congregation, verse 1, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept all night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would to God we had died in the land of Egypt. Would to God we had died in the wilderness. Why? Because these 10 spies brought discouragement. I want to tell you in church, I want to tell you in family, I want to tell you in life, I want to tell you in career, you're going to find that there's a lot of doubters. And there's a lot of people who say it can't be done. And it's going to go bad. And it's not going to work. And it's a dumb idea. Why? Two reasons. One, they're comfortable in their mediocrity. Two, if you come out of it, they look mediocre. And they are vocal. Sometimes the people who go... You know, I hate to tell you this. When I feel God leading me to do something big and great and crazy and take some crazy missions trip or go try to change some country, you know, I don't ask everybody if you think it'll happen. Because I know even in our church, there's those people who say, that'll never work. We'll never raise that much money. What if this happens? What if this? And they'll begin to what ifs. It's called the slothful man say it. There is a lion in the streets. Listen, when God says go, I just say, you know what? We're going to go. That's it. I don't want to hear everybody's discouraging voices, because many times when I've had a thought was a great idea for God, and you probably, I don't know, maybe I'm just insecure, but I've had this idea and I said, this is good. This is going to work. This is going to be great. I finally figured it out. And you say, let's go do this. And they say, all of a sudden somebody takes a big needle and goes, pop. That's a dumb idea. That'll never work. If you do this, this will happen. And you go, really? I thought it was a really good idea. And you know what you are? Discouraged. Because the vocal people are vocal and they will discourage you. The whole nation followed the 10 people. If you think that this idea of doing something great isn't going to work, then come up with your own plan. If this person's career isn't going to work, then think of a better one for them. If this isn't planned, but don't just stay in mediocrity and take pop shots at everybody who wants to do something above that. You're going to hear the voices when you say, you know what? Enough of this. I've been here and this is miserable and I'm sick of it. I can do so much better. I'm going to go do this. Boy, get ready. You better be courageous, because there are going to be the cowards coming. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't happen. Never happen. And let me tell you this. Wives, never do that to your husband. Your husband is the man of the family and the head of the home. God gives him a vision and something to do. And if you're always, no, it won't work, won't happen, you're never going to succeed. I know you. You can't do that. What can I tell you? Those men eventually are paralyzed. They can't do anything because they're, I want to try this, honey. Oh, yeah. No, I won't do that. I like try that. That might work. Honey? Oh, yeah, that was a dumb idea. I'm sorry. Honey? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the... Okay, I was just thinking about it. And they eventually... And by the way, there's women who do the opposite. You can do it. And he's saying, I don't think I can. Yes, you can. I believe in you. They're encouragers, and be one of those. Church members can be like that, any follower. But listen, don't throw his failures in his face. Every man fails. Moses looked like a complete failure. Moses, who led these people, and he looked like a failure at all he had done till then. And then he went and tried, and nobody listened to him. And he went back and said, see, God, I told you nobody listened to me. Every man has things that look like failures. But if a man's courageous, I'll say, let's go do this. And they have a setback and they say, well, that's a pain. Let's go try this. Because they're courageous. And they're strong. And a woman who has to do strong things and be courageous in life, she says, you know what? I've got to figure out a way to do this. Oh, that didn't work. Well, you know what? That's okay. We're going to figure it out. It's okay. We'll figure it out. You're still courageous. I go into this thing and don't pound my computer to bits and try it and say, oh, that was stupid. Why did they design it like this? That didn't work. Let me try this. And plow through. Plow through in life. And don't just stay there and don't discourage people. If they ask your counsel, you might say, you know what? Here's what you say. Not, that's a dumb idea. You can't do that. You're not. No, you say, if it's not for them and it's not a good idea. Your guy's 5'5" and he says, I'm going to play in the NBA. You see, you know what? I like that spirit. You know what? You keep working that hard, you're going to find something great to do. That might not be the thing. You can try it, but if it doesn't work, don't get discouraged. You're going to find something good. But don't. And be encouraging. You're going to hear from the non-courageous. Your family, you know how crazy it is. Dave Ramsey talks about finances all the time. He's a Christian financial advisor. He says, your broke relatives are automatically going to begin criticizing you when you decide to get out of debt. And if you know how funny that is so funny. And they will tear you to shreds because you say, you know what, I'm not buying anything new. You're driving an old junker. I'm driving an old junker. I'm doing that. Because why? You make them look bad. Because they're in their mediocrity and you look out of mediocrity and their excuses aren't going to work when you succeed. You're not going to be able to stay married. Nobody in your family's ever stayed married. You're going to hear the voices, so just you better be courageous. You better. The we can't, it's not going to work, are more vocal. They exaggerate, by the way. Look at verse 33. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which were giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in our sight. And there's other exaggerations. They later say, the walls of those cities go up to heaven. The walls of the cities didn't go up to heaven, and they weren't like grasshoppers. They were 6 feet tall. The giants were 9.5 feet tall. Were they bigger? Yes. They were 3.5 feet bigger. You know how big a grasshopper is compared to me? They exaggerate. There's a lion in the streets. They exaggerate how hard it'll be, how it won't work. So you've got to be courageous because they will exaggerate. Next, you got to be courageous because the people who will discourage you, you'll hear from them. Number two, because you will face challenges greater than you. Now, these are the verses I want you to turn to. Deuteronomy. You will face things bigger than you, and man, I've got to hurry. You still with me? Okay, you're courageous. You're going to be courageous about this. Making it through the whole sermon, even if it's an hour and a half long. And Deuteronomy chapter 4, and let me take you some verses. You will face challenges greater than you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 38. To drive out nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art. And to bring thee in and give thee their land for an inheritance, bigger than you. Chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. They're going to do things bigger than them. And I could read chapter 9, verse 1, chapter 11, verse 23, etc. You're going to face challenges bigger than you. That's what's called faith. Let's just find out. Don't need to be specific. How many of you have something in your life that you need to change or do that is bigger than you, that you are going to really struggle to even try to do it? How many? Raise your hands. Look around. You're going to face challenges bigger than you, so you better be courageous. And to everybody else in the room, your challenge, you might say, really? You're afraid of that? That's what's stopping you? Because to us, it's not scary. And you might say, go grab the flag from the bear. I'd never do that. That's crazy. But you might say, and you computer people would say, you got that scared of trying to connect a website to something else? Yes. It's evil. And Windows 8. And here's the thing. Sometimes you need to get counsel and you're embarrassed to get advice because your question seems so dumb and so simple. And you know what they're going to say? They're going to explain like a computer person. All you do is connect the da-da-da-da-da to the da-da-da-da-da and then push da-da-da-da-da-da and then you do into the code of this and do the micromanage da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, thank you. Click. And because you don't even know. Because to them it's easy. To them it's easy. But to you, it's your challenge. And you know what God's going to do? Push. Push, push, push. And you can't get fixed until you do that. So you got to say, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure this out tomorrow. I'm going to figure it out today. I'm getting a favorite cup of coffee. I'm sitting down. I'm getting my mouse out, my favorite mouse. I'm going to breathe deeply. I'm going to forbid all my children from talking to me because right when I'm just about got it figured out, somebody can say, Dad, can I ask you a question? Look at this. And my mind will go, poof. What did I do? I forgot it all. And so you got to prepare yourself and psych yourself out because men have no ability to be interrupted and then we lose everything and we're incompetent. And so we go and you psych yourself up and be strong and courageous because you're going to face things bigger. And the funny thing is you told them, you're going to face seven nations. They're all bigger than you. And you're going to take their land. You got to do it. Next, because the Lord does not lead us by fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you say, I can't do this because I'm afraid, that is not God leading you. God does not give us a spirit of fear. God may say, this is not my will, but he's not going to lead you by you being afraid. He hath not given us a spirit of fear. Next, because leadership can be scary. Leadership can be scary. And so we do that. So you say, okay, I want to be courageous. Where do I get the courage? Let's finish up with this. Where do I get the courage? Let's go back to our text in Joshua chapter 1. How many might need a little more courage like I did? You say, just for a computer and because of a crooked window? Yeah. And by the way, I've worked construction. I'm handy. I've had how many years of wood shop that I have in high school? Lots. I'm handy, but it was just over my head. It was too complicated. And so you're going to need it. And so how do we get courage? Real quick, God's going to tell him how. First of all, remember the Lord is with you in it. Chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28:20. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let us be content with such things as we have. Hebrews 13:5. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. One thing in the Bible I want you to understand, it's funny to me because as I just read it. When God says, I am with you so you'll be fine, to God that's enough. He doesn't elaborate. He doesn't say, I'm with you and so I'll do this and this and this for you. God just says, I'm with you so don't be afraid. That's all he says. In God's mind, he says, the God of the universe is with you. Anything you need, I can do. But we say, okay, you're with me, but what are you going to do? God says, I'm with you. That's enough. That's it. Because God will be with you. God's with you even to the end of the world. When you face these challenges that you know God's shoving you into, you have God who will help you. And he might send someone to help you. He might give you wisdom you didn't think you have. He might go and do a miracle, and you'll understand something. He might open a door you never dreamed of. You might say, I got to do this for a job. And you say, I don't know what to do. I can't go try to get a job. And God says, step out. And all of a sudden you step out to get the job you're supposed to get. And God said, boom, here's a job right in your lap. You say, I didn't have to apply yet. God said, it's okay. I was with you. I just needed you to go into the promised land. I'll take down Jericho. You got to be courageous enough to go in Jericho, into the promised land. I'll figure out. And how are they going to tear down Jericho? Giant walls. God just made them all fall down. He may have played Lego. He played dominoes. He's not worried about it. He was there. God's with you. It's enough. Number two, get with people of faith, not fear. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. Get with people of faith and not fear. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so shall we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. This is the same nation who said, no, we can't go in. We're going to die. No, we're not going to go in. And God said, I'm judging you. You're not going in. And their children are now talking. They said, we'll follow you wherever you want to go. They encouraged him. So what do? You avoid the discouragers and find the encouragers. There are certain people who will make you believe, and this is not the wrong way, will make you believe in yourself. Now I know it's God who does it, but I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And make you believe God can help you and you can make it. You find those people and you avoid the people and don't get counsel from people who nothing's ever going to work. Don't get counsel from them. Don't ask them. They're going to tell you it's not going to work. So just don't ask them. Just go do it. And then afterwards they say, that shouldn't have worked. That's fine. Let them say that. That's what they'll say. Or you got very lucky. Or I bet you that wouldn't happen twice. Whatever they want to say, that's fine. Pat them on the head and say thanks. And long walk, short pier. And move on. And so go with people of faith, not fear. You'll get that later. And number three, what do? Lots and lots of Bible. Joshua 1:8. Lots and lots of Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make the way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. He says the Bible is going to bring you good success day and night. Oh, I just want to say this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you're facing a challenge, read extra Bible. You will find courage. I mean, if you read the Bible for 30 minutes a day, awesome, that's great. If you're about to step into that, if you're about to go into your fear area, read it for an hour the day before. Maybe spend a week and say, every day I'm going to read it 45 minutes a day. If you read your Bible for 10 minutes, read it and meditate on it day and night and think about it. You will find yourself. And by the way, the people who read their Bible, you know what they are? You talk to them, they're saying, this is great. You can make it. We're going to do something great. I can do it. You can do it. You know, they're not walking around in fear and cowering through life. They're courageous. They're fine. Because the Bible brings faith and courage. Next, live godly. Last verse, Proverbs 28:1. Live godly. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Living right and knowing you're right with God and living holy and not having things the devil can bring to your mind right when you're about to take that step and say, I can do this. And the devil says, what about this? Just go to God, confess your sin to him, start changing and live a godly life, and you'll find boldness. The righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked, they flee when no man pursues. I was talking to somebody this week about crime. Somebody broke into our van out there and tried to steal it, and they managed to just destroy the ignition, but they tried to steal it. And I was talking about crime and how we were talking about how dumb criminals are. And we have a relative who's in a rock band, and they have very expensive, I mean, classic, well-known musical instruments that famous people use, and they played famous concerts and did famous things. And they were talking about how criminals just they went in there, and they were telling me that when they broke into his house and they took a little junky $150 guitar and left about a $25,000 one underneath of it. And then I was talking to somebody else whose house got broken into, and he said they left the most valuable stuff and just grabbed a bunch of junk and took off. You know why criminals do? You know why criminals do that kind of thing? Because they're looking over their shoulder, thinking, and they're thinking they're going to get caught because they're doing wrong, and so they aren't thorough. They don't check things out, and they take off, and they think everybody's watching them and suspecting them. Anybody caught them. And the wicked flee when no man pursues. Why? Guilty conscience. Think they're getting caught. But live right. So if you will go and remember the Lord is with you in it, get with people of faith and not fear, lots and lots of Bible, and live godly, you'll find you'll get a bunch of courage. And you can go and say, no start button. I know, no start button. Okay. Where in the world do I even start? Okay, nope. No, I can do this. I can figure it out. I got the whole day clear to do this job. I'm going to do it. Amen. But yeah, and we got it done. And if you knew that email I sent you or the work I had to do to send you that little button thing, you would appreciate that thing. And so you can laugh. I don't mind you laughing at me being afraid. I'm not a cowardly person. I won't laugh at your little, whatever it is. I will laugh at you if you continue to be afraid of it and don't go forward. But if you go say, I got to conquer this thing, no matter what it is, I don't care if you say, you know what, I'm afraid to do my dishes because I have such dirty dishes and they've been there for 6 weeks. It's called bachelorhood. And you keep washing the same ones who aren't too dirty. And you say, I don't want to face it. I don't want to face the dishes. That's fine, as long as you don't keep him there for another year. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm going to go do my dishes this week. I'll say, that's fine. I'll pray for you. It's pretty scary sometimes. Weirdo. But you know what? If that's your scary thing, it's time to push into it and not sit there. I'm not going to that promised land. There's giants there. No, go to the promised land. It's scary. You've been comfortable in the wilderness 40 years. Time to go in. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, help us to be courageous and brave. And Lord, you give us these instructions. Joshua had to do it. And three times, be strong and courageous. And Lord, it's time for some of us, people are relying on us. It's time for our life to move on. It's time for us to go do that project that's been sitting there, we've been avoiding. It's time for us to change something about ourselves. It's time for us to move on in something. It's time to conquer something. Many of our hands raised that we said, we got something. And I pray tonight that we would gain the courage to go in and be strong and very courageous and whatever the naysayers say, they say. But Lord, there's some things that aren't an experiment. It's something we know we need to do, and we've been putting it off, and it's just time to go. It's time to make that change in our life. And I pray tonight we take courage in you, that you're with us, and just go in. And Lord, whatever decisions, and however you spoke to everybody, I pray that we'd all be courageous in our decisions. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.